Okay, I have a prediction for you. And I want you to tell me if this sounds like, I don't know, total science fiction or if this is actually just around the corner. You ready?
I am always ready for your predictions. Let's hear it.
Okay, so within 2 to 5 years, over 90% of all legislative drafting writing, the actual laws that govern us, will be done by AI agents,
Whoa.
not humans. AI.
That is a very bold number, 90%.
90. And that is coming straight from our source material today, specifically a prediction by Joe Landry. And it's the hook for what we were talking about. We're
Right.
looking at a platform called Wilfred.ai. It's a specific case study. It's being tailored for the Oregon legislature right now. But the implications, I mean, they seem huge.
They really are. And I'm glad you started with that number because it sounds, well, it sounds terrifying to some people, right?
Of course.
The idea of robots writing our laws invokes this whole dystopian thing. But when you actually dig into the technical documentation on Wilfred.ai, you realize it's not about machines taking over. It's about solving a really boring, really difficult logistical problem.
Right, because I think most people, and I'll include myself here, assume laws are written by, I don't know, a bunch of people in a wood-paneled room just debating big ideas.
Yeah, that's the movie version.
But the reality is a little drier, isn't it?
Drier. The sources describe legislative drafting as slow, manual, and just incredibly error-prone. It's not just, I have an idea for a law. It requires this deep institutional knowledge.
Yeah.
You have to know all these complex statutes. You have to memorize rigid formatting rules. It's heavy lifting.
I was reading about the Oregon legislature specifically, and it just sounds like a minefield.
It is. I mean, every jurisdiction has its quirks, but Oregon is a great example. You have these really strict constitutional compliance issues. For instance, there's something called the relating to clause.
The relating to clause, is
Yeah.
that like a grammar rule?
It's a constitutional requirement. The title of the bill has to accurately reflect exactly what's inside. If you mess that up, if the title says one thing but the text does another, the entire law can be challenged in court and just thrown out.
And there's the single subject rule.
Exactly. A bill can only cover one subject. If a drafter gets lazy or, tries to be sneaky and throws two unrelated things into one bill, it's unconstitutional.
Wow. So it's not just about proper grammar, it's about legal survival. You get the formatting wrong, the law just doesn't count.
Precisely. And doing that manually takes hours, just hours of cross-referencing, searching through books. That's what Wilfred is trying to automate.
And that's where this platform comes in. But here's the thing that I found so fascinating right off the bat. This isn't just a chatbot.
No.
This isn't opening up a browser and saying, "Hey, ChatGPT, write me a law about seatbelts."
Exactly. That is the critical distinction. If you ask a standard chatbot to write a law, it might sound good, but it will probably hallucinate a statute that doesn't exist.
Or just get the formatting all wrong.
Completely wrong. Wilfred.ai is what we call a multi-agent system.
Okay, let's unpack that. Multi-agent system. It sounds a bit like a spy movie, but I get the sense it's more like a corporate org chart.
That's a great way to put it. Think of it less like a spy movie and more like a construction crew, or even better, a law firm.
Oh, a law firm. I like.
In a good law firm, you don't have one person doing everything. You have a researcher finding the cases, a senior partner outlining strategy, a junior associate writing the first draft.
And someone else proofreading it all.
Precisely. Wilfred basically builds that team digitally. They have a team of specialized AI agents, four of them, who all collaborate to turn one policy idea into a bill.
So instead of one big AI brain trying to juggle everything, you've got specialists.
Correct. And that architectural decision, the agent-based workflow, that's the secret sauce here. It keeps the AI from getting overwhelmed or, forgetting instructions.
So I want to touch on the tech stack for a second because the notes mention an orchestrator. If we're using the law firm analogy, who's the orchestrator?
The orchestrator is the office manager or the project manager. Technically, the system runs on a Python backend with fast API and a React frontend. But the orchestrator is the logic that connects all the agents.
Got it.
It knows when the researcher is done and then passes the baton to the architect. Without it, you just have four AIs shouting at each other.
Which frankly sounds a lot like Twitter.
Exactly. And we do not want laws written that way.
Yeah.
The orchestrator ensures this linear logical flow.
Okay, so let's meet the team. I want to walk through this step by step because the handoff is where the magic happens. It starts with Agent One, the researcher.
Right, the researcher. And everything begins with what they call natural language policy intent.
Which is just the user saying what they want in plain English.
Exactly. A legislator might type, I want to lower the speed limit in school zones to 15 miles per hour. It's the goal. It's the what, not the how.
But the AI can't just take that goal and start writing. It needs to know the existing laws.
Correct. And this is where the researcher shines. It has to find every relevant existing law. Now, in the past, this was just a simple keyword search.
Just Control F.
Basically, you search for speed limit. But legal language is tricky. What if the law calls it maximum velocity or affects speed limits but never uses that exact phrase?
You'd miss it. And if you miss it, you create a conflicting law.
Exactly. And that's why the researcher uses hybrid search. This was a key detail in the documentation that I really geeked out on.
I circled this too. Hybrid search. It combines vector search and keyword search. Break that down for us.
Okay, so vector search is fascinating. It turns text into numbers, vectors that represent meaning. So speed limit and velocity restriction would be mathematically close to each other.
So it understands the concept, not just the spelling. It gets the vibe of the law.
Exactly. It captures the intent. But vector search can be a little fuzzy. It's great for concepts, but bad at specifics, like a statute number, ORS 801.111.
And that's where the keyword search comes back in.
Precisely. The researcher uses vector search for the concepts and keyword search to drill down on specific terms. It then synthesizes all of that into a research brief.
So it hands off a whole dossier.
Yeah.
Here is everything you need to know about speed limits in Oregon.
Yes. And that dossier goes to Agent 2, the structural architect.
I love this title, The Architect. It sounds very Matrix-y.
It really does, but it's the perfect description. This agent doesn't write a single word of the actual bill yet. It doesn't care about commas or fonts. It only cares about structure.
This is a strategist.
It looks at the research brief and the user's goal, and it makes some hard decisions. It asks, do we amend an existing statute, repeal an old one, or create a brand new section of law?
That's a really complex decision tree.
It is. And the architect generates a structural plan. It's a blueprint. Tells the next agent, okay, go to Chapter 811, Section 5. Delete this paragraph, insert this new one.
It's giving marching orders.
Yes. And those orders go to Agent 3, the drafter.
The wordsmith.
The poor soul who has to worry about the form and style manual.
The notes mention this manual. It sounds like a bit of a nightmare.
It's the bane of every legislative lawyer's existence. Every state has a book, hundreds of pages long, that dictates exactly how a bill must look.
Like, we capitalize state here, but not there.
Exactly that. We indent two spaces here, but four there. Use this specific font size, all of it.
And if you get it wrong?
The bill can be rejected. Or worse, it creates ambiguity. The drafter agent is fine-tuned on this manual. It takes the architect's blueprint and turns it into legalese, formatted perfectly, theoretically.
Theoretically, because even AIs make mistakes.
Right. And that brings us to Agent 4, the auditor.
This is the one that really impressed me. Because usually, in these AI demos, you generate the text and you're done. But Wilfred has a critic built right into the loop.
The auditor is the quality assurance department. It takes the draft from the drafter and runs it through a diffing engine.
So for the non-coders listening, what's a diffing engine?
Sure. A diff, short for difference, is a tool developers use to compare two files. It highlights exactly what changed. Red for deleted text, green for added text.
So it sees exactly what the drafter did to the existing law.
Right. It compares the new draft against the originals. It checks for those formatting errors. It checks for internal consistency.
And this leads to the feedback loop.
This is the game changer. If the auditor finds a mistake, let's say the drafter forgot to bold a heading, it does not output the bad draft.
It keeps it internal.
It sends revision instructions back to the drafter. It says, hey, Agent 3, you messed up line 42. Fix it.
So the AI agents are basically bickering with each other.
It's constructive criticism. But yes, they loop. The drafter fixes it, sends it back. The auditor checks it again. They might go back and forth three or four times in a few seconds.
That's the self-correction part. By the time a human sees the bill, it's already been proofread multiple times.
Exactly. Think about the efficiency. In a human office, that process.
That's a week of work. Easy.
And Wilfred does that loop in maybe 30 seconds.
That's incredible. Okay, so I want to pivot slightly. How does the AI know the laws in the first place? It's not just Googling Oregon law, is it?
No, and that's critical. It's called the ingestion pipeline. You can't just rely on ChatGPT's base data because statutes change all the time.
So they have to feed it the current law.
They take the entire corpus of the Oregon revised statutes, thousands of pages. They pull it from PDFs and HTML files right from the source.
Which is messy data, I assume?
Extremely messy. They clean it, and then they do something called chunking.
Chunking.
You can't feed a 500-page PDF into an AI at once. It's too much context. So they break the law down into small logical pieces, individual statutes. Then they create those vector embeddings we talked about for each chunk.
So they're building a custom searchable brain that is 100% grounded in current Oregon law.
Yes. And they enrich it with metadata. So a chunk is tagged with Chapter 811, Traffic Law 2023 Revision. This helps a researcher avoid making things up.
Now, the sources emphasize that this is an MVP, a minimum viable product. What are the limitations right now?
There are a few duct tape solutions holding it together. The biggest one mentioned is database connection pooling.
That sounds incredibly technical. Why does that matter?
Imagine a door to a library. Right now, every time an agent needs a book, it builds a new door, walks through, gets the book, and then destroys the door.
Oh, that's inefficient.
Very. With one user, it's fine. But if you have the entire Oregon legislature trying to draft bills on deadline day, the system would just collapse. Connection pooling keeps the door open.
So that's a scalability bottleneck they have to fix.
Exactly. And the other big one is security. Currently, the API is stateless and has no authentication layer.
Wait, no authentication?
Well, it's designed for an internal secure network right now, a walled garden. But before they can sell this to other states, they need to add role-based access control.
Right. You need to know the person asking to repeal a law is actually allowed to do that.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty important feature to prioritize.
So that leads us perfectly into the roadmap. Joe Landry says 90% in 2 to 5 years. How do they get from this MVP to that reality?
It's pretty detailed. Phase one borrows a concept from software engineering, CICD.
Continuous integration, continuous deployment for code updates.
Right. But here, they want CICD for agents. They're constantly tweaking these AI models, but sometimes when you teach an AI a new trick, it forgets an old one.
Regression.
Exactly. To prevent that, they're building a golden data set.
What's that?
It's a benchmark, a collection of perfect legal examples. Every time they update the system, they run it against this data set. If the AI suddenly starts formatting headers wrong, the system flags it.
That's crucial for trust. You can't have a tool that works on Monday and then breaks on Tuesday.
And phase two is where it gets really exciting for the humans. They call it human in the loop, or HITL.
This addresses the robots taking over fear, right?
Yeah.
The human is still in charge.
It does. They're building a web interface where a human lawyer reviews the draft. But it's not just for sign-off. It creates a flywheel.
Explain the flywheel.
So the AI produces a draft. The human lawyer looks at it and says, actually, you misinterpreted this. This word should be shall, not may. The human makes the edit.
And normally that's where it ends.
Normally. But in Wilfred, the system captures that edit. It records the difference between what the AI wrote and what the human wanted. It adds that to the training data.
So the mistake actually makes the system smarter.
Exactly. Every single correction fine-tunes the model. So the next time, the agents know what to do. The users become the teachers.
That is powerful. It means the system isn't static. It grows with the institution.
And you need that if you want to hit a 90% adoption rate. The tool has to feel like it learns from you.
Which brings us back to the big picture. If this roadmap works, we're looking at a fundamental shift in how laws are made.
We are. The sources use the term policy architects.
I like that. What does it imply?
Ideally, we move from a world where lawyers spend hours fighting with Microsoft Word and searching for keywords to a world where they focus on the implications of the policy.
They stop being scribes and start being designers.
Exactly. The mechanical labor, which is probably 90% of the time spent right now, gets outsourced to the agents. The humans focus on the intent, the ethics, the downstream effects.
It sounds like a massive efficiency gain. And for a government often criticized for being slow, that's a huge selling point.
Mm.
But, and here's where I want to leave our listeners, I keep thinking about that word intent.
How so?
Well, the whole process starts with the user's natural language policy intent. And the AI translates that into the rigid code of law.
Right. That's a translation layer.
If 90% of the actual writing is done by the agents, based on their interpretation of that intent, and if the code of law becomes so complex that only the AI can efficiently write it, Are we moving to a future where legislators aren't really voting on the text anymore?
That is the provocative question.
Are they just voting on the intent? You know, I vote for safer streets, and the AI decides what the statute actually says.
It's a valid fear. If that gap between intent and text is filled entirely by algorithms, do the humans lose touch with the details? Or, conversely, does it make the law truer to the intent because the AI doesn't make simple clerical errors?
It's the difference between being a coder, writing the lines, and being a product manager, defining the features. Legislators might just become product managers for society.
That's a fascinating way to put it. And if this works as advertised, that shift isn't 50 years away. It's happening in the next 2 to 5.
It's a brave new world for the Oregon legislature, and probably for all of us soon. We will be watching Wilford closely. Thanks for listening to this deep dive.
Always a pleasure.
Catch you on the next one.